This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope.
And I'm Gail Binkley.
Gail's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press, and twice a month we join you to talk politics here on Talking Heads. And welcome back, Gail, after a little hiatus.
Yeah.
So good to be on the air with you.
We just like to say hiatus.
Hiatus. Yeah, it's a nice word. Hey, we're going to talk politics today in Southwest Colorado in the Four Corners area. We're going to start with the Dolores River Plan. Take a look at the issue of closing roads in Southeast Utah, or opening them, as it were. And then finally take a look at the sheriff's race here in Montezuma County. So without further ado, let's jump into the Dolores River Plan. The Montezuma County Commissioners are holding what's called a hearing on July 7th. But so far there's no indication about what the hearing is about. And that's a little strange, right?
Yeah, the public notice for the hearing, I certainly won't read all of this, but it gives you lots of options, okay? Normally, when commissioners have a public hearing, it's for a specific proposal, you know, that's something that people can consider, and they can say, we want this proposal, we don't want it. Yes. But this one says, proposed changes include, but are not limited to, eliminating this and that, dividing the difference and recalculating TDR amounts, I'm just skimming, so on and so on, or eliminating the TDR program in its entirety. And that says that's not even all the possibilities, because these proposed changes include but are not limited to these various things. So essentially they're having a public hearing to just talk about the Dolores River Valley plan and hash out something. They might do something, but we don't know what they might do.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the look on my face. Maybe maybe listeners can't, but maybe that's helpful for the commissioners. But this is, of course, a controversial issue.
It's highly controversial.
Where you have the county commissioners and the county planning and zoning commission at odds.
Yes.
And the planning and zoning commission says, we don't support this. That is changing the plan, and the commissioners are saying we think some changes are in line and ought to be put in line. Does this public notice seem to be going up and over the heads of the planning commission?
Well, the planning commission is just is purely advisory, so they don't have any legal authority to tell the commissioners what to do. They just they serve at their pleasure and give them advice. And they had given them their advice three times, which in essence was, don't change the Dolores River Valley plan. The commissioners believe, have indicated that they do think changes are necessary, and seem, definitely tilted towards major changes, if not throwing it out in its entirety. There's two key elements to the Dolores River Valley plan for people who don't know. One is just a setback requirement. Your structures have to be set back at least 100 feet from the river. And this is apparently fairly common if you look around on the internet, and you can see lots and lots of other places have a similar setback requirement in other states and other counties. And the other one is this TDR system, which I won't even try to explain other than it basically limits density in the Dolores River Valley to roughly one home per 10 acres.
Yeah, TDR is transferable development right.
Right, and it lets you sell your development right without actually selling your property, which, some people like the idea. But the commissioners are concerned because nobody's sold any since the plan was adopted in about 10 years ago, I think 2003.
So the meeting on the 7th, people are coming, but they're not necessarily, it's almost like a scoping meeting to find out what are the things that might be changed. I mean, there's nothing specific that people can say yes, no, and here's why, can argue.
That's correct. Again, the public notice just says they're going to talk about the plan and they might do anything. Now, in the journal this morning, I see that one of the commissioners told the reporter that he thought that they were going to make a decision at the meeting about what to do about the plan, which is interesting because this is an extremely complicated issue, and I'm guaranteeing they're going to get a lot of complicated input at the hearing. So it would be kind of surprising if they could make a snap decision that day.
it almost implies that the decision is made and we're having the meeting to make sure we've got input as we make our decision.
I mean, that would be one way to look at it. Yeah, because, again, like I would expect that there would be a lot of people there. They're planning to have the meeting in the county annex because they're anticipating a large audience. And the people who speak, I mean, some of them are going to be talking about floodplains and soil compaction and different ratios and so on. It's not going to be a simple input to digest, I wouldn't think.
If you just joined us, this is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope here with Gail Binkley. Gail's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press. We're talking about the Dolores River plan and a hearing coming up on July 7th in which the Montezuma County commissioners are going to hear from the public on things that they it's hard to say what they want to hear, but that there's a number of things that could change in the plan, and the public is invited to come comment on whether they should or shouldn't change. Not only is it complicated from an individual property rights standpoint, but there's also there's municipalities who are involved, and one of those is, of course, the town of Dolores, which has a stake in the plan in terms of water quality and wanting to make sure that the water quality is high and that development doesn't reduce water quality or create flooding issues or other things like that. You start adding levels of complication for the Montezuma County commissioners to consider.
Well, the commissioners have been, the town of Dolores, I should say, has passed a resolution supporting the Dolores River Valley Plan, but the commissioners have commented on the fact that the town of Dolores doesn't have regulations that are as strict as the ones in the plan, and that they let people build right up to the water's edge, and so I think they kind of think they're being hypocritical. Just recently, as we reported in the Free Press this month, the county commissioners heard from a group called the Dolores Water Source Protection Group, or Watershed Source Protection Group, that is five entities that depend on the Dolores River watershed, and they basically urged caution in changing the plan. One of the people who spoke, Scott Close, with the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe, said that the Dolores River supplies water, drinking water, to 95% of the population of Montezuma County. The commissioners also heard from representatives of the Dolores Water Conservancy District, who also urged caution, and they provided a formal letter to the commissioners saying that the plan has protected water quality and basically to watch out before changing it. City of Cortez has not weighed in on it, to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm. But of course, the City of Cortez gets its water from the Dolores River, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting, and I would expect there would be, you know, other entities that might wish to comment at this hearing. Again, just as somebody who's watched a lot of these hearings over many years, I would be surprised if they felt comfortable making a decision that day. I would think they would want to mull it over and come back and, you know, make a decision on a future date. But
Did the County Planning Commission, when they put forth their recommendations or their recommendation not to change, did they have rationale that included language or arguments that about water quality and other things like that?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. They talked a lot about what the original working group that developed the plan had studied. They have lots of statistics about rivers in other Colorado counties where they have major rivers and what they do and how water quality is protected by things like setbacks and lower density and so on. They've been pretty steadfast in saying they don't see a problem with the plan and don't know why it needs to be changed.
Okay, well, we are going to keep following this story. We're going to take a short break. This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope here with Gail Binkley. She's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press. And we'll be back with the Wednesday Morning Zine in just a moment. Stay with us. We're back. This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope.
And I'm Gail Binkley.
Gail's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press. And twice a month, we join you here on the Wednesday Morning Zine to talk politics in the Four Corners area. We turn now to Southeast Utah and the road closure, road openture issue in Southeast Utah. And I want to try to get some updates from you, Gail, on if any that are worth noting. I think most people understand the story. It had some national headlines when a group of citizens from Southeast Utah went to Recapture Canyon and basically did a ride. A protest ride or a freedom ride to say, hey, we want this to remain a traditional roadway and something open for our use. And this was against the advice and possibly the legal posture of the Bureau of Land Management. Have I got it
straight? Yes. Yeah. Yes. The road's technically closed. It was an illegal ride. They, you know, knew that and didn't make any bones about it. And that happened on, I think, May 10th. The latest thing that happened regarding that is the San Juan County Commissioners over in San Juan County, Utah. I believe it was a week ago, basically a week and a few days ago. They met and considered a lengthy resolution with lots of whereases. But what it called for was San Juan County to assert jurisdiction over this recapture road or recapture trail, whichever way you want to look at it, and say it belongs to them and not the BLM, and then they were going to voluntarily implement a 60-day closure to motorized use so that they could study the trail and the archaeological resources, because the trail, I guess, in some places actually runs over some archaeological sites. And they could think about, you know, where it should go and so on, because they believe that the BLM has taken too long in deciding whether this road should be permanently closed. Now, what was kind of interesting about this meeting, and I was not there, but I listened to it on, you can hear them on tape, or digitally. There are three San Juan County commissioners, and one of them, Kenneth Maryboy, who represents the Aneth area and basically the Navajo voting district, was specially created for that purpose. He hasn't been coming to meetings recently because he didn't make it onto the primary ballot for another term, and he's running for president of the Navajo Nation. Mm-hmm. So he really hasn't been coming to the meetings. Right.
So he's a lame duck, and he's basically focused elsewhere.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. But he showed up towards the end of this meeting, I guess, and made comments against this resolution, which I think was a little bit of a surprise to the other two commissioners, Bruce Adams and Phil Lyman. And he said that he could not support it, that the three of them had worked together on many things, and he was very regretful about this, but that he believed it was disrespectful to the burials in that canyon, to the spirits of the dead. They didn't want all that noise. You wouldn't have a big racket in a cemetery, and he didn't think it was appropriate to have ATVs going up and down the trail in Recapture Canyon, so he voted against it.
Hmm.
So that's the latest on that, and I don't know what will happen from there. Just the fact that the county asserted control over this doesn't mean that that the BLM believes they have control or jurisdiction. And the BLM has yet to issue a final decision on whether that road is going to be permanently closed to motorized use or remain open, or be opened, I should say, to motorized use. And interestingly, there were also comments that the local San Juan County Tourism and Promotions Director had gotten lots of calls from after this whole protest. He got a whole bunch of calls from people that were interested in coming out to San Juan County because they didn't realize there were so many great ATV trails there. And then he also got a bunch of calls from hikers saying they wanted to come hike the Recapture Trail before it was ruined by motorized use. So he's drawing attention from both sides.
Yeah, and this story is, of course, doesn't happen in a bubble, not to be too punny, but there's a sort of a low boil of this sagebrush rebellion that has continued for 20 years, and it's a little higher these days with the activities of in Nevada with Cliven Bundy and then what happened in Southeast Utah as well. So we're definitely seeing. I guess this is just an indicator that rebellion continues.
Well, and I think we just should mention, of course, there was that shooting in Las Vegas by the two militia types, and they apparently had been to the Bundy Ranch to kind of join in the protest, but the New York Times reported that they were asked to leave by Bundy's supporters because they were considered too radical. Hmm. So,
all right, we're going to turn finally to the sheriff's race in Montezuma County in the Four Corners Free Press this month, June. You did an extensive interviewing of the two candidates, incumbent Sheriff Dennis Spruill and the challenger to date. So far, one challenger is Steve Nolan, running for the Republican Party. I guess, you know, the write-ups are long, did you learn anything?
Oh, yes, you definitely always learn things. This is a really interesting race. The sheriff's race is almost always seemed to be very heated, hotly contested. There was one, 20 years or so ago in this county that was decided by 8 votes. I don't know whether this one will be that close. They're usually decided in the Republican primary rather than the general election, and I think that's what people are anticipating this time, although there's, I guess, an independent candidate, unaffiliated, that's going to run against the winner of this Republican primary.
And to bring readers up to speed, or listeners up to speed again, of course, the Republican primary had some controversy in that the incumbent did not get on. He was not the candidate coming out of the convention, the local convention, or the Republican Party Assembly. Mm-hmm. And then the incumbent, Dennis Spruill, got petitioned onto the primary ballot. So with plenty of votes to get there. So your learnings, or anything new that pops out at you about the candidates or the race, besides it being looking like it's going to be close?
Well, both of them have to traditionally, run to the right because it's a Republican primary, and that's what people do.
But never really have to come back to the left.
No, and here they don't have to come back to the left like they do
in the national or even statewide elections. Yes. Right? Sure.
Uh-huh. They're similar in a lot of ways. Their stances on a lot of issues are similar. They both say they don't want, they support the Second Amendment. They don't want to take away anybody's freedoms. They're going to stand up to the federal government, and so on. Steve Nolan, in our interview, sounded a little bit more skeptical of some people's beliefs that say the state government should take over federal lands and so on. He doesn't really see that happening, and he said he's worked for the state, and he doesn't see that there would be a huge advantage to having the state in control. But that said, he obviously takes a strong stance against the federal government as well and doesn't want to see any overreach. At a meeting of the 912 Project, they were both asked a lot of questions about, do they fly a flag at home? Would they stand up and keep people from coming and taking their, federal agents from taking their livestock away? They both said that they would. Did they support the Constitution and so on? So in a lot of ways, they have more similarities than differences. I think people are well aware that Dennis Spruill has had some big ups and downs in his first 4 years. He says he really, really wants a chance to improve on his record and to let people know about some of the good things that have happened under his first 4 years, and he doesn't feel that those have gotten as much attention as they deserved. Steve Nolan says that he really came out of retirement or semi-retirement because he thinks that the sheriff's office has taken a wrong direction, and he felt it was his duty to run and try to offer an alternative.
Mm-hmm. So what are the good things that Sheriff Spruill points out, and what are the things that the candidate Nolan would do to put the department in the right direction?
Well, some of the good things that Dennis Spruill points out are that he's made improvements at the jail, it's lowered the inmate population, instituted a pretrial services program that tracks people but lets them stay out of jail when they're, pretrial, that kind of thing. So they're monitored, but they can go home and they don't have to be in the jail. He says when he took office, the jail was basically bursting at the seams. They were going to have to build another mm-hmm. section onto it and so on. He says after the disaster that was Robin Kronk, the undersheriff, he's hired a very good undersheriff in Linda Carter. He has a very diverse staff working for him, lots of Hispanics, 3 African Americans. He's tried to be extremely open. He's started putting incident reports on a Facebook page and so on. These are the things that he says are his pluses.
And Mr. Nolan, what are the things that he thinks that should happen to get on the right track, or where he's coming out of retirement to rescue this day?
Well, he believes that, you know, Dennis Buell made a bunch of mistakes, that, you know, that the hiring... He said that he doesn't believe that the sheriff has taken responsibility, full responsibility, for the things that went wrong in his administration, and that he would do that. He would implement, he would look harder to hire Native Americans, which are difficult to get to work on local law enforcement, because they can usually make better money working on the reservation, but he would be more active in that. He just thinks, basically, that Dennis Buell made a bunch of mistakes and doesn't deserve a second term, and he would do better. He would also, he says, be very transparent and honest and responsive to people. I think one difference I should point out between them is that Sheriff Spruill has said that he does not believe in taking federal grants for the sheriff's office. It's, you know, because of the taxpayer thing, and also because the grants usually run out after a certain point, and then you either have to fire somebody or find money to keep them on. Steve Nolan says he absolutely would take this money. It's money that's out there. He wants to seek it. He wants to reinstitute the drug task force, which was disbanded, and would use federal funds to do that.
Mm-hmm. And so the primary election is
June 24th. It should be interesting. I wouldn't think, take a long time to get the results. And, of course, you know, there's other primary races. There's an interesting race for county commissioner between Jim Candelaria and James Lambert. There's a race in the assessor and the county coroner as well. And these are all going to be on the primary ballot, Republican primary.
Lots happening right now. Okay, well, that's going to have to wrap it up for the show today. Thanks, Gail.
Oh, thank you for having me in.
This has been Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope.
I'm Gail Binkley.
Gail's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press. And we've joined you here. We'll join you next week to talk politics here in the Four Corners. Stay tuned to KSJD for all your news, information, and entertainment.